If you'll turn with me to the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 16. Book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 16. Hebrews 12, verse 16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And this morning, my title is A Bad Bargain, A Bad Bargain. And we're going to be looking just very briefly in the time that we have this morning at the life of Esau and some of the lessons that we can draw. Now, we are part of an age which has seen so many advances in technology, advances in scientific discovery, advances in knowledge. We can message people on the other side of the world at the touch of a button. We can go to places with such ease compared to previous decades and centuries. We can trade so much easily with various countries. There's been so much advance. Time would fail me to talk about the recent advances in the last several decades. We have so much knowledge available to us at our fingertips. We could become experts in various things, perhaps just by going online and studying them. And we may boast about our advances as an age. But there is something which we haven't advanced in. In fact, we've regressed. And that's in the moral dimension. Man may boast that we're getting better and better. Certain philosophies say that man was once amoral, then immoral, and will become moral. Great optimism, but we see the opposite. We see the wars that still exist and many other things. Man has gone backwards in the moral dimension, back to a philosophy which is 4,000 years old. The philosophy of life, which has been experimented with and which leads to the same desperate outcome, a bad bargain, a great loss. And it's embodied by this man Esau, which again this morning we're just going to take just a few moments to consider. Esau, who was this man? Well, we read in our reading, he was the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. He was the twin brother of Jacob, who later became Israel. What was Esau like? Well, he was somebody described as a man of the field, a skillful hunter, a cunning hunter. He was probably very athletic. He was somebody who hunted deer. We have in our New King James Version, it's called game, but he would have been hunting deer. He would have been so agile. He would have been athletic. He would have been strong and fast. He would have been able to catch various animals. He was probably somebody who was quite outgoing, maybe quite a likable character. Well, he was somebody who certainly had a godly upbringing, didn't he? He knew about the one true God, Jehovah, the one who called his grandfather Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. So he knew about God's holiness. Had to be separate from the heathen nations who served idols. He knew about the holiness of God. He also knew about the mercy of God. How Abraham was promised many, many things, many glorious blessings, and that the Messiah would come through him, through whom all the nations of the world would be blessed. He knew about the mercy and the compassion of God. He had great testimonies in his family of Abraham and Isaac. He also had some bad testimonies of Ishmael. And so he knew about those who went away from the Lord. He would have had the fall of man explained to him by his grandfather. How man has fallen and depraved in his nature, in his mind, in his heart, in his will, and how he must be rescued. He must be changed. He must be made new, and he must be given the righteousness of God. He would have known about the remedy that God would send a son. And just think about the caliber of his instructors. Abraham, the father of the faithful. Esau had no excuse whatsoever. Well, for all of these things, he cared not. He cared not for his privileges and his responsibilities. Verse 16 of Hebrews 12, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. Now we all have something which is, I'm sure, extremely valuable to us. It may differ. It may be something physical. It may be something non-physical. It may be a piece of jewelry, perhaps, which has a sentimental value attached. It could be a certain position, maybe a job. Well, would we trade it? Would we trade it for 5 minutes of good experience? This would be unthinkable. This would be unforgivable. Well, Esau, he was a profane person who for one morsel of food, for one dish, sold his birthright. But Esau, how could he do such a thing? How could he do such a thing? This is so incredible. Maybe to us, it doesn't seem very important, because in our culture, perhaps birthrights or rights of birth have been diminished, the significance of it. But Esau, he sold his birthright. I'm going to come to exactly what that is in a moment. But if we turn back to Genesis chapter 25, I know you're very familiar with this narrative. But Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29. Now Jacob, he was cooking a stew, and Esau came in from the field. He had been hunting his game, his venison, his deer. And he said to me, please feed me with that same red stew, for I'm weary. And Jacob, well, knowing that Esau didn't take his privileges seriously, he wasn't a responsible person. Jacob saw that if Esau was to lead the family in the future, that all would go disastrously wrong. Well, Jacob, he asked Esau to sell him his birthright for this food. And Esau, well, he says, I'm about to die. I'm so hungry. Esau wasn't about to die. He could have got something else, surely. But he makes out as if he needs this food as an emergency. Jacob tells him to swear of him this day that he would give him his birthright. And so Esau does it in verse 34, I beg your pardon. So he despised his birthright. How could he do such a thing? His birthright was so precious to him. In antiquity, this was something which held such prominent place, to have the birthright. He would have had such authority once Isaac, his father, had died. He would have led the family. He would have led in worship. He would have been the priest of the family. But he would have also received a double portion, double as much as all the other brothers would have received. And he would have been protector of the promised seed's line. This was his right of birth, his birthright. But what did he think about it? We read he despised it. He thought nothing of it. He rubbished it. He sold it for one meal. And maybe he might have thought it was a joke, but we see the Lord took his joke seriously, or his attitude. Esau was a profane person. Verse 16 of Hebrews, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. That word in the Greek, profane person, it comes from the root to be a threshold crosser, a threshold walker, one who transgresses the boundaries, one who goes somewhere where they shouldn't. unauthorized entry. Well, for Esau, he would cross that barrier. Perhaps like people trespassing on private land where they see the signs and they shouldn't go there. Or a child is told that they're not supposed to go into a certain room in the house or a certain cupboard. But then they do. Esau, he was a transgressor, a rebellious man. He was lawless. There was nothing sacred to Esau. Nothing which should be held in such high esteem. Esau was somebody who was not only profane and a threshold walker, threshold crosser in character, but also in attitude. He was somebody in his attitude, he was wide open. He was accessible. Things could go in and out. There were no barriers. Any idea, any suggestion, any whim was allowed to take hold within him. He was easygoing. He was somebody who had no standards, no loyalties, no principles. He was like a city with no defense, or a soldier without a shield. Unthinkable. He's like a house with no doors. Anything can go in and out at any time. An easygoing character, flippant. Well, how many of us are supporters of Esau's manifesto for life? I certainly was when I was younger, before I became a Christian. And I held people in high esteem if they were people who could get on with anybody, easygoing, full of humor. But people who didn't have any standards, nothing to really hold them and anchor them. These people are generally the most popular people in our day and age. And we might esteem the stars of our age. Many do things to arise to stardom and popularity. They trample on other people. And their lives, when you really find out about them, they're riddled with cheating and backstabbing. Well, maybe we ourselves, we leave ourselves wide open. There's no guard. The television, we watch whatever we want. We don't think, how is this going to affect me? I won't be affected by it. Or the films, or the things that we go on online, that we allow to pass across our gaze. No guards. How about the company that we spend? Who do we spend time with? Surely they influence us. Are we easygoing people? God's standards in our minds are not absolute. I can rewrite them. I'm allowed to be angry with somebody and be vengeful if they've done something to hurt me. Or the Sabbath day. Well, the Sabbath day, it's not that holy. We can have a Sabbath morning, but the rest of the day is mine. Are we profane? Are we threshold walkers, threshold crossers, allowing anything to happen? No standards, absolute standards. Do we think it's okay, perhaps, to tamper with figures and to be untruthful, perhaps on job applications? No loyalties. No absolute standards. Well, Esau was a profane person, a threshold crosser. And it played out in how he sold his birthright. Well, Esau, I just come to another heading. Esau's monopoly of privileges squandered. He was the elder brother. He had the right of birth. He had a special place in God's family. He had the knowledge of God. And he threw it all away. He wanted immediate satisfaction. That's what mattered to him. And we remember what happened in Genesis 27. We read in Genesis 25. I'm just going to turn just a couple of chapters on. And all of you again will be familiar, no doubt, with what happened in the end. He sold his birthright, but then many years later, it now came to the time for him to receive the blessing. Isaac is old and he's blind. He can't see. But Isaac knows that the day of his death is close. and he's ready to give the blessing. Genesis 27, verse 1. Now it came to pass when Isaac's eyes were, he was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and told him that he was going to die and that he wanted to bless him. So he tells him to go and hunt his game, his venison, which Isaac loved to eat. Well, Rebekah heard what was going on, and she said, this can't happen. This can't happen. And so she hatches a plan with Jacob, verse 6 to verse 17, and I'm not going to go into all of it. But verse 11, Jacob said to Rebekah, but look, my brother Esau, he is hairy and I'm smooth skinned. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem a deceiver to him. And so they get some of Esau's clothes, and also they put some of the hair on Jacob in order to deceive Isaac. And this happens. And Jacob deceives in verse 18. Isaac asks, who are you? And Jacob, verse 19, he says, I am Esau, your firstborn. He deceives his father in order to get the birthright. And then the blessing is given. There is some suspicion. Jacob lies again and again. But verse 28, we have that patriarchal blessing given to Jacob. He is a supplanter, but he gets the blessing in the end. It wasn't the right thing to do, and he is punished for it. But that's not our purpose this morning. Verse 28, therefore may God give you of the dew of heaven, of the fatness of the earth, and plenty of grain and wine, and let people serve you, and nations bow down to you. The blessing is passed on. And then just as he finishes, well, Jacob exits, and Esau comes in, and Esau's proud and is ready. I'm about to get the blessing. And we realize, he realizes that the blessing has already been taken. And verse 34, which is what I wanted to come to. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceeding great and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me also, O my father. It finally dawned on him. He had missed out on that blessing. He had sold his birthright. God had taken his attitude seriously. What a thoughtless decision. He had been so thoughtless, so unthinking. Esau had considered not his privileged position. He considered not the responsibilities and his precious place in God's family and what was entrusted to him. Well, we seldom consider our privileges. How about the privilege of being rational, living, conscious beings with the ability? We have a soul. We have the ability to know and to walk with our Creator and to enjoy Him for all eternity. But perhaps we despise this great privilege. We are equipped far better than the animals. We can appreciate beauty. We can discover things. We have moral standards. We don't work on instinct. These are great privileges, dear friends. We have freedoms. We live in an age where the gospel light shines so clearly. The great promise of God has been fulfilled. Messiah has come. We have the word of God written, complete. We can read it in our own language. The Lord Jesus Christ, he has been manifested in the flesh, God incarnate, and he's come. He's come as a man. He's humbled himself. He's lived the perfect life, upright, holy. He's come to satisfy God's holy wrath. And he suffered and died in agony on the cross of Calvary for those 6 hours, taking all of the shame and the transgression and the rebellion and the pride and the profanity and the unbelief due to all who would cry out to him. Oh, this gospel demands not just considering, but it demands complying. It demands trusting in the Lord. Oh, where is my despising of high and holy things going to take me? Where is it bringing me? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Verse 16 of Hebrews 12, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. What a thoughtless decision. And what a reckless decision also. For Esau, it was the here and now that mattered. He was short-sighted and he threw everything away. I remember hearing reading of a lady who had a decent job and a family, and she got caught up in online gambling, and very soon it snowballed, and all of the money in her and her husband's account was gone. She gambled it all away. How sad. But it went even further. They're actually selling their house. And she was in charge. She was the one who was having people come to view and various things. And she actually sold the house without her husband knowing. They were renting somewhere else at the time. And all of that money from the house, she gambled away in online gambling. In total, it was about £550,000. How reckless. Well, her husband and her daughter, they moved out. She lost practically everything. And what for? For online slot machines. An addiction. How devastating. How reckless. How thoughtless. Well, do we, day after day, make a reckless decision about our souls? Are we hedging our bets that all will be well in the end? We just continue on. Are we willing to squander a life of light and understanding through coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior and knowing His transforming power? Are we willing to jettison peace with God and everlasting joy and assurance and a great purpose in life? Strength and enabling, eternal bliss in heaven, just for a few cheap thrills. For as one person said, for about 4,000 weeks of life, that's all it is, if we live to our average age. And we risk eternity for this. How reckless, how catastrophic. Dear friends, it's a bad bargain. It's a bad bargain. We remember our Savior's words. What shall it profit a man or a woman if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't be thoughtless. Don't be reckless. Don't be a profane person like Esau, who lived for pleasure. He was a sensual person. He said, as it were, what matters to me are food, fun, and frenzied pleasure. I don't care about this special place that God has given me in His life. I don't care about His standard of living. I don't care that there is a promised Messiah coming who would bless the whole world, who would save sinners from their sins. This doesn't matter to me. I have my two wives, thank you very much. And this soup is amazing. It's great. It's satisfying. The contempt for God and the superficiality. But this is what Almighty God surveys when He peers from His throne in heaven and He looks down upon us. Well, what was the result of this thoughtless and rash and impetuous choice? Verse 17 of Hebrews 12. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, He was rejected. And that's just another heading, rejected at the last. Esau, he got the soup. He got the soup, didn't he? And then he carried on as normal. Maybe he thought that selling his birthright was a joke. He banked on the fact that he was still the firstborn. That couldn't be changed. And so, surely I will inherit my double portion and the authority and the regalia that comes with it. Well, dear friends, you might get the soup in this world. You might get that thing that temporarily satisfies you. This soup can stand for anything which stands in the way of you surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some master sin, besetting sin. It could be a possession. It could be an ambition, perhaps, that you have for years and years, and then you actually achieve it. You've got the soup, you've got there. And you've carried on thinking that you're okay with God, disregarding him, despising him, thinking nothing of him and of his glorious gospel and way of salvation. You spurned his forgiving love. You've got the soup, your pleasure, your happiness, but it's short-lived. Well, God takes your attitude to him seriously now. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. Maybe you think because you've been coming to church, or that you have Christian parents. Surely in the end, you know, I'll get to heaven. Somehow, don't assume on automatic blessing. You'll miss out. You'll be disqualified. You'll be rejected at the end and squander great blessing if you play games with the privilege that you have. Just think, what am I risking? What am I risking? What for? Esau thought that he could secure the blessing by hunting his game, his venison, and that he would bring that before his father and all will be well. We might think that we can bring some offering to God later on in life, but it doesn't work like that. Don't count on automatic blessing. Well, just lastly, as I come to conclusion, my last heading, too late to rectify, too late to rectify. Verse 17, for you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Esau, we read, lamented and wailed when he found out that the blessing had been taken by his brother. In verse 34 of Genesis chapter 27, we see that there is an exceeding great and bitter cry. He was crying so much. It was a loud shout. It was a forceful cry. Esau was inconsolable. He was so distressed. He had missed out on great blessing. The opportunity had gone. The blessing had gone elsewhere. No matter how many crocodile tears he had, that blessing was not going to return. It was gone. And we know that he was crying not because of his foolishness, but because he wanted that blessing. That's what he really wanted. But dear friends, never think you'll be able to put things right in the end. Don't think that there's always going to be time later. Some may say, well, when I'm older, or maybe, you know, when I get cancer and then perhaps I've got 5-10 years to live, that's when I'll turn to the Lord. How do you know? How do you know you'll get that time? How do you know you won't have an accident? How do you know you might not get older and lose your faculty of memory? Maybe suffer from dementia or something like that. How do you know that your heart won't become hardened before too long? Well, some may say, well, on judgment day, when I'm going to give an account, I'll argue with God and I'll show him what's what. I'll say, well, this is what I've done and this is what I deserve. And I've come across people like that. There won't be any bargaining with God. Once the day of judgment comes, there's nothing we'll be able to say. He knows all things. All things are open and naked to him. And he is the perfect judge, the righteous judge. We will have to answer for each and every one of our sins, especially that sin of turning away that forgiving love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others think that things will just work out in the end. Oh, what happened to Esau? We must heed, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Everlasting banishment and loss is the sorry outcome, the lost blessing. We're not annihilated once we die. No, we are very conscious when the light of this world turns out and the light of the next world comes on. We'll be very conscious. And there'll be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, exceeding bitter cries. And all for what? Well, dear friends, the age of seeking will be over. We would have jettisoned numerous opportunities and gospel appeals. Is it worth it? Is the question. That's what we need to ask ourselves today. Is it worth it? Esau missed out on so much blessing and fruitfulness. And if we reject the gospel and despise this greatest privilege of all, the free and the total forgiveness of God the Son, well, we push the self-destruct button. And we trade fellowship with God and heaven for a short life of sin. Don't be like Esau. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He made the greatest transaction on Calvary's cross. He's done it all. We don't need to earn anything. We cannot deserve anything. The Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, he has finished all things. He has paid the price. He has suffered and died in our place. If we turn to him, if we bow the knee, if we come this day and not procrastinate and leave it till later. Don't be like Esau, who found no place for repentance. The blessing was gone. Well, we still have time. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Seek him whilst he is near. Don't be thoughtless. Don't be reckless. Don't throw away eternal life just for a few moments of pleasure. I close just with reading these last two verses. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to him before it's too late. Put your trust in him, and he will save you.